Thank you. You guys can sit down for a few minutes. Get you back up here in just a few minutes. I have a few talkies first. Just don't go far. They'll be back. What to say? My goodness, there's so much. I was like, well, gee, I don't want to be here all day talking about Pete Seeger. But there are a couple of important anniversaries for Unitarian Universalists this week. Of course, we're celebrating the anniversary. He would have been 100 years old this week. And so we're celebrating that anniversary. But another synchronicity, I believe, is that today also marks the 200th anniversary of a special sermon given in our tradition by William Ellery Channing. It was called the Baltimore Sermon, and it's also sort of got a subtitle of Unitarian Christianity. William Ellery Channing was really a coming out sermon. Until that time, Unitarian was a name used in America as a derogatory comment by Orthodox Christians. It was kind of a slam. The liberal Christians were kind of like operating in secret and sort of under the radar. And this was William Ellery Channing, a prominent minister at the Federal Street Church in Boston, just coming out and claiming Unitarianism in all its glory, affirming the unity of God, the humanity of Jesus, which was a really big deal, and the nature of humanity as basically good, with the ability to use our minds and hearts to distinguish right from wrong, rather than the Calvinist notion of being depraved and sinful, and most of us were going to hell, a few select ones going to heaven. So it was a huge diversion from the Orthodox Christian Calvinist movement at the time. And I really think that Pete Seeger is somebody who, ours is a living tradition, and so there have been prophets throughout the ages over time who have exemplified these Unitarian principles set out by Channing in the early 19th century, and I believe Pete Seeger was one of them. I really firmly believe that he taught us that humanity, affirmed that humanity is basically good. He was very positive, very optimistic about the future of humanity, and that we could use our minds, and that we could use our hearts, and we could use our hands and our voices to make this a better world for all people. His song, "Oh, I had a gold, had I a golden thread and a needle so fine, I'd weave a magic strand of rainbow design. Show my brothers and sisters my rainbow design and bind up this sorry world with heart and hand and mind." A modern day William Ellery Channing in Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger was the people's singer. He was an incredible performer. He could captivate and hold an audience, yes. He had that energy, that charisma, that optimism to lift up and to unite. But that wasn't what it was all about for him. It wasn't about being out front. What was most important for Pete was empowering people through the experience of raising their voices together in song. Kind of like our own Amy Conley. All right, you're the next generation of Petes out there, right? Like Channing, Pete Seeger believed in the goodness of humanity and our ability to use our good gifts to create a better world. And singing together gives people the experience of what we can create together. The music wasn't about Pete. It was about this collective power of uniting our voices. Again, I want to thank Amy for lending me her source materials. There's another sort of autobiographical book that Pete, it was a collection of Pete's own words that Rob and Sam Rosenthal put together. And here's just a little bit from their introduction about Pete. They say that Pete Seeger is arguably the most important American folk singer in the 20th century. And then they say, Pete, as he's inevitably known by everyone, would hate almost everything about that sentence. And you can imagine that he would. In fact, he said, I'm just one link in the chain. There's a much better singers and writers than I. The people I learn from and still learn from, those are the important people to listen to. He said, I don't even know what you mean by folk singer. The biggest mistake I ever made was letting people call me a folk singer when all music is a mixture of all kinds of influences. Anyways, this whole emphasis on who's important and who's not, we're all important, and the artist no more than anyone else. The goal isn't to be an important artist or star separate from everyone else. The goal is to get everyone to be an artist, a singer, a participant. For Pete Seeger, music was a vehicle for building community, recognizing that we're all in this together and that singing together is a powerful way to invite people into the experience of unity and diversity. Different voices coming together to create one song, songs of struggle, songs of great joy, songs demanding justice, solemn, quiet songs of prayers for peace. Pete Seeger's message was, get connected, get involved, participate. That's what's important. He said, a musician encourages democracy by encouraging people to lift up their voices in song. Have you ever thought about community singing that way? It's a form of democracy, us all lifting up our voices together. I just love that. He said, I'm singing a wide variety of songs, trying to touch base with these different kinds of people, get them involved, not just listening, but singing. I think the act of singing is very important. Even singing a sentimental old song can actually be a very political thing if people are singing together. It's the act of gathering and sharing is a political act. I think Pete Seeger really understood Martin Luther King's idea that we're all part of an interdependent network of mutuality. King said, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And Pete Seeger served as a bridge on many levels, a bridge between eras, ages of people, struggles, and peoples all over the world. Movements for social justice and change must be linked together. Pete understood that it would take more than music to bring about Dr. King's beloved community. In an article about Pete in the Common Dreams online magazine, they explain it this way. Because music alone cannot bring peace and social justice, Pete Seeger participated in, contributed to, and learned from every major progressive social cause and movement from the 1930s up to his death in 2014, including the labor movement, civil rights movements, women's movements, anti-war movements, anti-nukes movements, the environmental justice movement, and on and on. He understood that they were all connected to each other, and that when we lifted one of those issues up, we were raising all of those issues, and when we lifted one person up, we were raising everyone up. Pete used his experience with these movements to create and adapt songs that told the stories and raised awareness about issues of oppression and exploitation. Common Dreams continues, Pete, following Bertolt Brecht, believed music can hold up honest mirrors to current realities, open windows into new and better realities, and it can provide us with hammers with which to build from where we are and where we wish to be. Pete said that some music can help us escape our troubles, Other music can help us understand our troubles. The best music can help us do something to overcome our troubles. Pete embodied that humanizing and revolutionary spirit dedicated to overcoming our troubles. I was listening to an interview with Pete on, it was an old interview that Amy Goodman did with him on Democracy Now! I was listening to it yesterday, and he loved this analogy from the Step by Step song about drops of water not being able to do much on their own, but together they can turn a wheel. And he talked about being little teaspoons, we're like little teaspoons, and then we have water in our teaspoon, and that we have to keep putting our teaspoons into the world that we want. And if we do, that collective power can actually tip the balance. And he believed that till the day he died. And to me, that's a Unitarian Universalist value. It's hard to keep that hope alive. It's hard to stay connected to that way of thinking that what we do makes a difference. No matter what we do, it makes a difference. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And so when we remember Pete, when we sing the songs, these old songs, and some of the new songs too, it can reconnect us to that feeling of empowerment and hope and that collective sense that we're all in this together and that unity of how powerful our voice can be when it's united. So this morning we're going to explore three of the issues Pete was deeply committed to through song. The first one is this song, Step by Step. Pete dropped out of Harvard University. You all know he was a wicked bright guy, right? He dropped out during the Depression because there simply wasn't enough money for him to stay in school. And also, there was a lot going on in the world that he wanted to pay attention to that wasn't in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He got involved with a young artist group in New York City. It was a branch of the Young Communist League. And he got his start as a singer-songwriter as part of a group of puppeteers who went around to different striking dairy farmers in upstate New York at that time. He says, "I played the part of a cow who tells the farmer he's foolish not to get together with other farmers to demand a decent return for their labor." And then between the acts, he would sing, "The farmer is the one who feeds us all," which was based on an old tune that actually came from, I think it came from the Celtic somewhere. But anyway, he did that a lot. He took old tunes and he wrote words, new words, contemporary words to fit these old tunes. And so the words to Step by Step were actually printed in the preamble to the Constitution of the 1860 Pennsylvania Coal Miners Union, right? The tune is a song from the Irish potato famine, which is also very poignant, another struggle, being colonized, another genocide, actually. And so we put those two together. The tune to that song was "The Parties, They Grow Small," the potatoes, they grow small. And so we have Step by Step, and we're going to sing it together now. We're going to sing it through twice. Yes? I invite you to stand as you're comfortable.
Stand and take a few steps as you sing. Thank you.
By the 60s, Pete writes, I realized that the world was being turned into a poisonous garbage dump. By the time the meek inherited it, it might not be worth inheriting. I became an eco-nick and started reading books by Barry Commoner and Paul Ehrlich. And about that time, I fell in love with sailing. But sailing the Hudson, I saw lumps of toilet waste floating past me. The ironies of private influence and public squalor, thanks to J.K. Galbraith, got to me. And Pete began to write songs about his love for the Hudson and the state that it was in and his hopes for the future. And eventually built the sloop Clearwater, and most of us are familiar with that. It was a huge educational project, bringing school kids and other groups up and down the river and helping to educate people about the beauty of the water and its connection to the ecosystem. And so we're going to sing Sailing Up, Sailing Down. For our third song, how many of you were introduced to the song This Land Is Your Land in grade school? I know, I was. It was in one of those standardized textbook kind of songbooks, like the institutional kind of songbooks, but only the chorus and three verses, right? The other verses, the verses that call to question the rights of private property and ownership that Woody Guthrie originally wrote in 1940, weren't generally known or sung, especially not by grade school children. We were being indoctrinated for an entirely different type of thought process. Pete writes, I and others have started singing them. We feel that there's a danger of this song being misinterpreted without these old, new, old verses being added. The song could even be co-opted by the very selfish interests Woody was fighting all his life. Watching Big Wheel Clark Clifford in March of 1950 addressed the wealthy businessmen of Chicago's executive club, he said, "The people have to feel that their small share of this country is as much theirs as it is yours and mine." With only half of Woody's verses, "This land is your land" falls right into Mr. Clifford's trap. In other words, let the people go ahead and sing the song. Meanwhile, you and I know who really controls this country. So, let's stand in body or in spirit, and let's sing all the verses. We're only going to sing the chorus at the beginning and at the end, but we're going to sing all the verses. And so if you need some energy, some hope, some vision, I invite you to continue to kind of dig a little bit for some inspiration from our friend Pete Seeger. And he is alive and well and living among us as Unitarian Universalists. May it be so. Blessed be.